Our Panagia was full of grace before and during the Annunciation, and overflowed with more grace after the conception of her Son. After her dormition, her glory surpasses that of all creatures, not excluding the angels, who are amazed by her love, purity, faith, and radiance, as we read in the endless hymns of our church. These hymns sweeten our daily life, and especially during the summer, during the 15 days of August, as we sing the small and great supplicatory canon to the Panagia, the small and great paraklesis. One only needs to take a few minutes with the Theotokia at the end of services. Every service we have the hymns to the Theotokos. A few minutes with the Akathist, and we'll find dozens of epithets and terms of endearment that have been placed there by the Holy Ones all through the centuries, because a saint is one who has a great relationship with the Theotokos. To our saints and hymnographers, she is the unfading rose, the vessel of joy, the fiery throne of the Pandokrator, the fiery throne of the Almighty God, the aromatic balsam of the King of all, the treasure of chastity, sweet-smelling lily, fragrant incense, and costly precious myrrh, Agnias Thesaurisma, treasure of chastity, is one of those epithets. Agnia in Greek is where we get the name Agni or Agnes. So one of the epithets of the Panagia is treasure of chastity. We don't use this word very much today. Chastity is becoming one of those rare words in our vocabulary, unfortunately. But chastity was one of the most important virtues of many generations of Christians who loved the Lord more than themselves, who had knowledge of self-denial, who practice self-denial. You may have heard of the term chastity belt, perhaps in the course of a joke, but this was not something funny in previous centuries. A belt was a necessary part of the dress code of the Old Testament, where God himself gives it a very special meaning. It symbolizes readiness and anticipation. The priests in the Old Testament wore a belt. St. John the Baptist wore a thick leather belt. The belt had a symbolic meaning as well, perhaps from the action of strengthening the back. A man or a woman with a weak back cannot function well, especially in the demanding activities of past centuries. So a belt has become the symbol of valor and strength and bravery. The soldiers needed to tighten their belt. We still use the statement today, tighten your belt, be courageous, be tough, do not be cowardly. When God wanted to speak to someone in the Old Testament, he would say, strap your belt around your waist, gird up your loins, and go to that specific place, and I will speak to you. So the belt was synonymous with readiness, courage, valor, and strength for both men and women. For the women, it took on an additional element. It would also symbolize chastity. But this is not unrelated to valor and bravery, because a woman needs great strength and resolve and self-denial to protect her chastity, especially nowadays. Married women needed their belts and a strong back, because most women work side by side with their husbands in the fields. And not having access to strollers, they needed to carry their children for hours. They also had their sashes, a more decorative type of belt, perhaps more ornate. Our Panagia had loomed her belt herself. When she was informed by Archangel Gabriel that her time drew near to join her Son, she strapped her sash around her waist, laid down on her bed, in her house and fell asleep in the Lord. Apostle Thomas, according to our tradition, once again did not make it to the funeral. He was detained in India working on the gospel. 3 days later, as the body of the Virgin Mary was ascending towards heaven, Thomas was also caught up in the clouds, and they met in midair, and the Panagia greeted Thomas, who was overcome with joy, and our most holy Theotokos unstrapped her holy sash, her holy zoni, her belt, and gave it to him as a great treasure to strengthen him and his apostolic mission. The belt of the Panagia is very fragrant and very miraculous to this day. For those of you who may have read our taxi book or the Tears of Repentance, you may remember one of the heroin addicts who was helped by Athanasios and some other people to go to Mount Athos, to the monastery of Vatopedi, and he was miraculously healed by the belt of the Panagia. The belt or sash of the Theotokos was kept in Jerusalem until the 4th century. After that, it was transferred to Constantinople by Emperor Arcadios, and during the 12th century, it went to Serbia with King Lazarus. It stayed in Serbia for several hundred years, and during the 14th century, the king of Serbia offered it as a gift to the monastery of Vatopedi, where it still exists to this day and can be venerated by pilgrims there, or at least the men who can visit there. Perhaps someday, if we pray enough to our Panagia, the monks of the Vatopedi monastery can bring it to us in America. To have the blessing of one of the two holy items that still exist today from the Panagia. I was just informed that there is another garment of the Panagia in the country of Georgia, which was held in a museum for a century or so. And when Nectarios, the god of the myrrh-bearing icon of Hawaii, visited there, I believe 2 years ago, he was taken to the museum. And after some miraculous events that took place there, permission was given for this great treasure to be taken out of the museum and have the people of God venerate it at least once or twice a year. So getting back to the belt is a symbol of two great virtues, bravery and chastity. Bravery is not only a presupposition to our salvation, but it is one of the natural powers of the soul. Even the ancient Greeks were aware of this, and they spoke about the four powers of the soul: prudence, bravery, sobriety, and righteousness. Bravery is the opposite of cowardice, and cowards cannot become citizens of paradise. We need to be brave to wage war against our passions and to exercise self-denial. We need to be brave to face the truth about our spiritual illnesses. We need to be brave to overcome this world. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And in Revelation 21:8, we read, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral," and so on. So you can see that being a coward is the same kind of fall than all the other passions of unbelief, of evil, of murder, sexual immorality. So the cowardly will share the same place with the sorcerers and liars and idolaters and murderers and the sexually immoral, because the coward cannot overcome his ill self-love, which is the mother of all passions. There's a question posed to one of the desert fathers. "Holy Father, how can I be saved?" And the elder answers, "If you have a heart, you can be saved." In other words, you need to be gutsy, brave, courageous. Now, where does this bravery come from? Are we born with it? What do the church fathers teach about this very important virtue, which has nothing to do with rudeness or bullying or rowdiness? The brave mindset or bravery is a gift and a virtue of those who believe. Cowardice on the other hand, is the seed of lack of faith, or at least little faith. The man of little faith becomes easily afraid. He does not have the assurance inside him that he is walking with God. So when we are not totally sure that we are following the will of God, then we become uncertain, unsure, and afraid. Should I go ahead with this plan or not? Should I get married or should I stay single? Should I have a family or enter the monastery? People are so indecisive today. They don't want to decide. What should I do? And they ask us, what do I do? Well, I'm not going to tell you what to do because I don't want that responsibility. This is a problem today, especially with young men. They have a hard time deciding. Listen, get a blessing, pray, and decide. When we cannot decide, when we are indecisive, we're also weak in the faith of the providence of God. We are double-minded, as St. James says, double-minded and unstable in all our ways. The cause of all this is insufficient faith. The lack of steadfast faith gives birth to fear. So if we want to cultivate the virtue of bravery, we must strengthen our faith, not only in the existence of God, but in the providence of God. I must have the faith and conviction that I am following the will of God. This is what made our martyrs fearless and unconquerable, the certainty that they were following the will of God. There was not even a shadow of a doubt that they were fulfilling the will of God. Young girls, 14, 15, 16 years old, like St. Marina, St. Christina, St. Paraskevi, St. Marcella, all these great saints that we celebrated in the latter part of July, they had the steadfast faith that God was right there with them and urging them on. On the 26th day of July, along with St. Paraskevi, we also celebrate the martyrdom of Aurea Zilli, the beautiful bride of Christ who confessed him as God in front of Decius, and when asked to deny her faith to be spared from the horrible tortures, she answered, "I am telling you for the first and final time that there's nothing you can do. Whether you threaten me or flatter me or promise me or however you punish me, you will not succeed to shake me from the love of my Christ. God forbid that I should ever deny my God who gave me my existence. So do whatever you wish, O King, with my earthly body. Burn it, cut it up in pieces, slaying it as you wish, O King." Now, this is beyond bravery. This is bravery combined with the gift of martyrdom, the highest form of love for Christ. When we develop the sense that God is with us at every place and every hour, every moment, then we become fearless. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." King David was fearless when he felt and believed that the Lord was always with him. When we become indecisive, we cannot move on. We backpedal. It simply shows that we lack the conviction that God is with us. And the lack of faith will flood us with doubts, insecurities, and cowardice. Cowardice is a terrible passion, a very destructive passion. It makes a person full of suspicion. He thinks everyone is out to get him, everyone is his enemy, he sees danger in all things. He's afraid of his own shadow, and his life becomes a living hell. Many people suffer today from all sorts of fears. The fear for their children, the fear for their future, the fear of contracting an illness. All these fears will disappear. When we replace them with a healthy fear of God, faith in God, and trust in the providence of God. When we experience the goodness, mercy, and love of our Heavenly Father, then all these psychological fears will vanish like smoke. When Simeon prophesied about the painful future moments of the Panagia, "And a sword will pierce your own soul," referring to the cross, the Panagia was not shaken. She did not ask any questions. She kept it all in her heart, there where her God was. God was filling the entire space of her heart at all times. So there was no room for fear. So the Panagia was not only chaste, but full of bravery because she was full of the Holy Spirit at all times. And before even the Archangel Gabriel visited her during the Annunciation, because the greeting was, "Rejoice, Mary, full of grace." So she was full of grace even before her conception. Our most holy Theotokos, along with all the virtues, she also excelled in the virtue of patience. Patience is a great virtue and a presupposition to our salvation. Christ said in one of his parables, "By patience you will save your souls." Patience is directly proportional to the level of our humility and the seal of all the virtues. The one who will be patient until the very end will be saved according to our Lord. In the martyrdom of the 40 martyrs of Sebastia, these young Christian soldiers were slowly being frozen in the waters near the Caspian Sea. They stood in the frozen waters of the lake all through the night, all 40 of them. Close to the very end, one of them lost his patience, ran towards the fires to save his life, and a sudden change of temperature killed his body, and the lack of patience condemned his soul as well. Although this was a horrible martyrdom and a great torture, the most holy Theotokos suffered much greater torture, indescribable pain under the cross of her sinless son. She saw her child, who never wronged anyone, who never said no to anyone who asked for help. She saw her child nailed on the cross, bleeding, suffocating, suffering, and finally dying on the cross. And all this from her own people, the people of her country, those who heard and saw every type of miracle, those who were ready to crown him as king a week before. Now they were gnashing their teeth at him like vicious dogs, blaspheming and ridiculing him. Did she lose her peace? Did she wail and shout and heap curses on any of them? Did she lose her sanity from this indescribable pain? Not at all. She was the mother of the one who said, the one who's patient until the very end will be saved. She displayed the most heroic patience of all ages. She kept all the pain in her heart without expressing a single word, without a complaint, without a single accusation against the criminals of Israel. She has suffered like no other human being, with the exception of her son. For this, she's also called the Queen of Pain, the consolation of those who sorrow. She knows sorrow, pain, and affliction like no one else, and she can become our consolation. She's the hope of the hopeless. She's the hope of all Athenites and the fortress of all the virgins and all who run to her with faith. A very popular hymn dated back to 250 AD was discovered on papyrus recently, which says, "Under your compassion we take refuge, O Theotokos. Do not overlook our prayers in the midst of tribulation, but deliver us from danger, O only pure, only blessed one." This hymn is still chanted today in the Plague of First Tone in our supplicatory services, and chanted by all the generations who call her blessed. Υποτινσίνες πλαχνίαν καταφεύγομεν Θεοτόκιον. I will close with a manuscript of the monastery of Ivíron in Mount Athos, where we have the great miraculous icon of the Panagia Portaitissa, the guard of the gates. And I translate. "The Mother of the Lord, having appeared many times to many saints, said the following: I love the 24 hymns of the Akathist, the 24 stanzas. I love them exceedingly because they are so beautiful. Therefore, I will love and protect and I will cover and keep from every evil every Christian who will salute me once a day with these hymns, and at the same time he will live according to the law of God. On the last day of his life, I will also defend him before my son." What a beautiful and hopeful message from our mother, the mother of all generations who call her blessed. Brothers and sisters, the reason why we have these seminars and these talks is to energize our faith, to help us to make an effort to include at least 6 of the 24 stanzas of the Akathist in our daily prayers until we receive the grace, and more specifically, until the Most Holy Theotokos gives us the additional grace to slowly include all the 24 stanzas of this great poem in our daily prayers. After doing this for a month or two, we will begin to memorize these hymns, and then they will be available to us everywhere we go. This will work like balsam in our very busy and troublesome days, where the days seem to go so fast and so quickly that we often forget the one thing that is necessary. The truth is that we cannot achieve many virtues today in our pitiful times, being literally flooded by the tons of multimedia that consumes our free time and darkens our nous and heart. The book of the Revelation says, "Here is the patience of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Our Panagia told us exactly the same thing. It's not enough to just read the salutations alone. The Panagia said, we must also live according to the law of God. We must keep the commandments and all the teachings of Christ. And one of these very appropriate teachings for our times is the kingdom of God needs to be fought for, and those who do battle against their passions will get a hold of it. Η βασιλεία του Θεού βιάζεται και βιαστέ αρπάζουσιν αυτήν. Αμήν. And the way this verse is recorded in the King James is the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. May the Most Holy Theotokos intercede for all of us and all generations who call her blessed. Amen.